Today we're going to talk about Mark. We're going to talk about that. Let me see here. That other important black movie, Kinky. You know. Oh, they say that Kinky is the Negro movie experience of the year, Martin.
Is that right?
Is that right? It's so much that I think I was the only Negro to experience it. This film right here is a small release. Let me go and play some of this for you right here.
How small is it?
So small, Martin, that it is a complete mystery for some people, including myself. A lot of people who saw the trailer, they said, look, Corey, you talk about how you love bad movies. You talk about how you love garbage cinema. Man, you got to go see this. And we can't wait till you talk about it. And that's why I come back and I say, shame on you, you and your prejudices. Because I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the quality filmmaking that's going on right here. I'm looking at all these actors who no one has seen for years or don't know at all.
Right.
And I'm just thinking like, okay, you know something? Maybe this could be bad, but I don't like to go in with that attitude. You know, going in just waiting for something to be bad, waiting to talk shit about something.
You should give these things a chance.
You should give these things a chance.
You open yourself up to possibly something wonderful.
It's happened before.
Mm-hmm. Not often.
Not often.
But it's happened.
It's rare. It's so rare, the movie.
That I can't name the last time it happened. However, it is still within the realm of possibility.
And it might be possible with this film here. Let's go ahead.
You had to laugh in the middle of saying that.
I might
that.
Be laughing because it was so good, Martin. I might be getting some really good memories. I woke up. Martin, you know I don't ever get up at 9:30.
You sure don't.
But I got up at 9:30 this morning and got my Kinky on, Martin. And saw this, only person in the theater. So I got to relax a little bit and really soak it in.
So it's
myself.
Actually in the theater, huh?
This actually made it to the theater, Martin. Is that a good thing? Well, let's go ahead and tell you guys. We'll let you know right after we watch this trailer for Kinky. And we'll be back with my review.
Sorry, guys. I was super busy.
This is my somewhat shy brother.
There's something so mysterious, so sexy about you.
Seems like someone really likes you, Dr. Carmichael.
You know I've been interested. I'm just going to ask you, do you want a date?
I'm sort of dating someone.
So, fill us in on your sex life.
Guys, I have to take this.
Mm-hmm. Don't talk to your little friend.
I was hoping you can come over.
I'd love to.
Anything I can help you find?
I'm looking for something in the bondage space. You want to play? Somebody's been a naughty girl.
Kinky!
Guess they weren't lying.
No, man.
Kinky.
They are not doing any false advertising here. And one of the things that people, the reason why they wanted me to see, they wanted us to see it actually, but the reason why they were
Did
saying
they?
You guys, yeah, they as many people can go see this as possible. I'm sure they're fine with that. But y'all know how I love this kind of stuff. You know I'm a fair man. And plus, y'all know I have like this weird relationship with Tyler Perry movies. It's like yes. I walk out just confused sometimes. Mm-hmm. I had fun.
Well, that's not weird. That's normal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I had fun, but it wasn't good. But I love it. But yet I hate it too. What is wrong with me? And you know, look at this movie here. And a lot of people look at it and they say, well, you know, I can sum this up very easily. They say this is like Tyler Perry directed 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
And to make that comparison is an insult to both Tyler Perry and 50 Shades of Grey.
But it's got it manages to have the black actors that even Tyler Perry goes, I'm good.
Tyler Perry,
I think I can do better.
Tyler Perry, like I'm in a new place now. y'all need to catch me like 10 years ago. Nah, you bargain bin niggas. I moved on, man. No, I don't want to say it about these people here, but listen.
This is an insult to both of them.
You listen to me. If they were to give me a tagline for this film to put on the box or the poster, because for some reason it's in the theaters, that tagline would be an insult to both Tyler Perry and 50 Shades of Grey. Tyler Perry, we can debate that. 50 Shades of Grey, y'all know I hate that shit.
Yeah,
all of
it's
them.
It's awful.
All
three of them.
So for me to sit up here and say, how dare you insult 50 Shades of Grey? Shit gotta be bad.
How bad is it though?
Martin, looking at this, You know, I was, because again, I was going to ask, how the hell did this escape BET,
right,
and get up on the big screen? But Martin, again, to say that, that's an insult to BET.
Damn.
This movie has shit on a lot of things on the way to that screen. You want to ask me something?
Well, I just was going to assume it's because it's of a sexual nature, which is why it can't be on BET.
Martin, BET used to have none but ass-shaking videos called BET After Dark.
I know, and they got heavily criticized for it, so they stopped.
For BET, it doesn't matter, because this could have shown on BET easily in the middle of the night. For BET to look at something and say, hell no.
You want us to show this?
We got standards.
We didn't even know we had them. You just showed us that we have standards.
Actually, BET's actually trying to improve his image. Shit, we making a Bobby Brown story. We don't want to deal with Kinky. Get the fuck out of here with this. Martin, this somehow escaped the DVD bargain bin and miraculously found its way to the big screen. And again, that's the insult to the bargain bin.
Yeah.
I ain't talking about Walmart, Martin. I ain't talking about that fucking garbage pail of bargain movies. DVDs, yeah, where you'd find stuff like this on the bottom. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about that shitty rack of DVDs in 7-Eleven next to the Snickers and the Reese's peanut butter cups. And the hot dogs.
When you're on a road trip and you stop at a truck stop and they happen to have some DVDs in there that you never heard of.
Exactly.
And half of them, or you go to a flea market and it's a Spanish ripoff of a movie we've seen already.
Yeah, yeah. This is what truckers get, white truckers, when there's nothing else left on that rack at the truck stop. How the hell is getting in? Oh, well. I like Negro humor. Man, the funny thing is, a movie like this, normally it would never be on the screen. But on top of that, you wouldn't even know it exists. The only way you would know that this movie exists is because your half-senile grandma, your grandmama bought this thinking that she was probably buying soul food or Think Like a Man.
Right, right.
You know, she didn't look at the box too well.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, what the fuck is this? And because you got it, you watch it. And you'd be like, wow, man. How not only did this get on DVD, how did this shit, where did the money come from, what little there is to make this?
I'm taking it, you think that somebody just recorded it off of YouTube onto a DVD and ripped your grandmother off.
It, you know what, it's close to that, because this is barely a step above porn. And I'm not talking about in the sexy sense. I know it's called kinky. I'm talking about in the filmmaking sense.
Yeah, yeah.
No, look at the production value on this.
Yeah, I could see that from this trailer.
Yeah, this is, you know, looking at this, you know, this movie barely exists like it is right now. Sure, the movie has a trailer. Sure, the movie is on the big screen, but how it got there, I don't know. The movie this is one of the most mysterious releases of a film I've ever seen. I can't find out any history on this.
Really?
I can't, it's Martin, I can't find out any history. It's nowhere to be seen. I thought that this may at least make number 45 on the box office. It is nowhere to be seen on the weekend box office. I'm looking at Box Office Mojo right now. This shit is like, it's like the Joker of movie releases or black cinema. It's like,
it has no
origin. You know, I tried to find the origin of this movie. All I found was Linton Knives. It has no origin. It has no background. I don't know how the movie was made. I don't know how it exists. And I sure as hell don't know how it got onto the big screen. Because putting this up on the big screen shows every flaw that this movie has.
I imagine it would.
Like sometimes when they use video, you can see that it just, you know, it's just not, it's not at the right DPI for the screen. You know, it's not, you could see.
That's what I was noticing here, how some of it looked just like home video or taken from somebody's cell phone.
Martin, when I say that this is a step above porn, this is like the first film that a porn director's made when they try to go legit and don't know filmmaking that well.
Yeah.
I talk about This is fascinating. I talk about a lot of movies. I talk about the editing. I talk about the film quality sometimes. But I've never seen filmmaking this bad on a large ass screen for something that got a quote unquote major release. Mm-hmm. Because that's what you get with this movie right here. To call this a bad film, and it's bad in all the areas that they count with filmmaking: dialogue, acting, production,
yeah,
the script. Yeah. I mean, every aspect of filmmaking is shitty in this. And
the makeup looks good.
You know what, Martin? Look at it on the big screen.
Oh.
Even that shit is smudged over and everything. Okay, thank you for finding something nice to say about this. The makeup on the crew is all right.
I'm curious, because the main character, the actress.
Oh, I'll get to them. I'll get to them in a minute.
Okay.
Because to really understand why all this is bad, you got to go into depth about each one of those things. I'll start you out with the dialogue. The film is trying too hard, way too hard, to be sexy and sophisticated. Mm-hmm. It's trying too hard to be professional as far as presenting their characters. And you know something? Because it's good to see. I try to say some good things about a movie. It's good to see that they made an attempt to put nothing but positive black images on the screen.
Sure.
There ain't one ghetto ass girl in there. Girl, ain't one Negro. Ain't one hood Negro in here. Ain't nobody trying to rap. Ain't nobody trying to push their demo tape or their hip hop tape. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing like that. All these people are socialites, professionals, businessmen or women. You know,
none of them are entertainers.
None of them are entertainers
or sports figures.
The closest you get to is one dude's a personal trainer.
Okay,
and that's it.
Okay,
so I commend the movie for trying to actually show black professionalism on the screen. But these brothers and sisters trying way too hard, man. Because for one, when I say the dialogue, with them trying to be all professional, with them trying to be all sophisticated, it just comes across in generic business talk.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, Martin, our stocks are rising and our profile is healthy.
When I hear that, it makes me think of a little kid dressed in their parents' clothes.
That's exactly what it is, man. That's exactly what it is.
This woman that I'm dating is in the S&M.
Hell yeah. Man, I'll be trying to get my main girl to whoop my ass.
You know, the guy that plays the trainer.
Yeah.
You know, he's a funny guy. They have characters in there that are funny. They have characters in there when they're not concentrating on business people and whatnot. They have friends that they go to eat with. And all those people, they're cool. You know, they actually make the movie relax a little bit. But we're focused on the main people. And those scenes with them are just as dry.
I suggest that we sell Cam Tech from our portfolio.
I agree. Let's sell it.
Yeah, who talks like that?
No, and that's just a sliver of those, man. It gets to a point we actually are having business meetings with these people.
It's funny because it's written by somebody who's never been in an actual business meeting. They've just seen them on TV, so they're just doing crib notes.
They're just doing all generic business talk. Even with your girl.
No specifics whatsoever.
No, none. They have a point here where they actually they're on TV with the worst green screen you've ever seen. Now that's where it looks like YouTube, and it's supposed to be even the interview is generic as fuck, because they're like, so you two are rich, and they say you have more money than God. What's the secret to your success? Well, healthy portfolio on our stocks.
Oh, okay.
Your girl here, she's a surgeon. Uh-huh. Your main character is a surgeon, the kinky girl, and her, I believe her name is Dawn Richards, is the actress's name. She's a surgeon in the movie, and she has the same kind of flat ass generic dialogue. Great work in there, doctor. You're one of our best. You know, so this is dialogue for people who don't know how to write character development. Right. So they put it all out there.
How so?
they haven't seen. They actually stopped. They stopped the movie because they don't know how to write character development. They have to create scenes to have these people to show you do the most meaningless parts of their job. Uh-huh. They bring in two doctors and they have a scene that has nothing to do with the story. Welcome, ladies. I'd like you to meet Dr. So and So, and she's one of the best that we have in our office. You're going to shadow her for the rest of the day. And it's just like that had nothing to do with the plot at all. Except for you to know that she's the best doctor that they have there, and she trains people. And this is when Martin's right. I even have it right here. It's like watching kids try to act like people, like their parents at their jobs, or watching high school students write what they think the professional world is like. Uh-huh. And when I say high school, I'm being generous. This is more like 14-year-olds, 13-year-olds. Yeah. I have a briefcase and some coffee. I'm going to work. Man, this shit, it leads to, and that's why this is bad, because it leads to bad acting. Like, I'm gonna actually not try to harp too much on the actors, because the actors there, they're giving dialogue that you heard right here. They're giving dialogue that is so bad, so fake, so dry that it sucks them dry. It's hilarious to sit up here and watch these actors try to actually do this professional and sophisticated dialogue and just watch the life just being sucked out of them the whole time they talk. they go soulless. Their eyes just turn blank when they're talking during these business meetings. And it's because the director had told them, act professional.
Right.
Don't do anything funny. Mm-hmm. Don't do anything that's
you're a serious professional.
Yeah. Be serious. Yeah. And these people, you could see them struggling too. Like, I'm a businessman, Martin. It's almost like they just turned to stone the whole time. It's like they're doing business with
Medusa. That's great and all, but you got to be serious because you're high powered and you have a lot of pressure on you. Okay, now go.
Yeah.
Okay. Showing a little bit too much emotion there.
How many companies do we own? We own five companies. We have to sell two. You know, it's like they just turned to stone the whole time that they're talking. It's... He really is like, who are you doing business with, Medusa? Don't look in the eye, man. Too late. Our stocks. All right. with the scenes with their friends and whatnot, they those are fine. But even those things, after a while, it just starts to be regular talk that you hear all the time. With girls in movies, you know. Oh, tell me how the sex was. Oh, girl, how was it? Was he an animal in bed? You know, all the shit that you hear all the time. Yeah. This is bits and pieces. This is a director who has not had an original vision. This is a director who took every bits and piece of what he thinks works for other movies.
So he doesn't even know how people talk on their downtime.
and it's fucking weird because you can just look at all these strange things that happen in the movie. Every time these girls get together, they're all eating salad. Every time. At home or when they're out, it's about three scenes in this movie where they just drinking wine and eating salad. You know, like right there.
Yeah.
Like that's a third scene where they're eating salad with some fucking chunks of meat on there or something. It's weird looking at things like that, man. But, you know, even though the scenes with the friends are funny and whatnot, it still comes back to your two leads, man. And your two leads are the ones that they have to carry this movie.
Sure.
Which means they have they're given the whole weight of all the bad dialogue. They're given the majority of all the bad scenes. And they're written to where they have no chemistry and they have no personality to carry any of these scenes at all. You know, this is they are to carry the film. You know, I'm looking at one of the lead in the movie, Dawn Richards. I have no doubt that at some other point when she's not forced to do phony dialogue, she's probably a better actress. There were moments when they actually let them cut, you know, cut loose a little bit, and she didn't seem as stiff. Plus, she's already a performer. She's she just goes by the name of Dawn. And you spell the A with like a triangle, but she's. I'm the reason. No, man, I didn't name her shit.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus, y'all making me feel bad. I didn't name that shit. I'm not her fucking agent. You know?
A call back to last week, Charisma. I'm sorry I made fun of your name. Yeah. Dawn with a triangle.
Dawn with a.
Now I've heard everything. Blam.
Yeah. He's like. It's Dawn with a try. I don't know, man. Shit. Hey, look. Even I was fucked up when I was trying to read. Dawn. I know where it is. but the thing is that, you know, she's a performer. She seems very talented. I read up a little bit on it. She does content for Adult Swim, so she's okay. An artist.
Okay.
I think it's even said that she's an animator. So is this, you know,
wow.
The girl is talented. I don't know how the fuck she ended up in here. You know, I tell you.
Maybe she thought it was an Adult Swim sketch.
Yeah. Our Tyler Perry movie. Tyler Perry? Oh, sure.
Yeah, but it's in a Tyler Perry vein.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You know, I don't know. I get the feeling that she wants to act.
Uh-huh.
This seemed like something, in, as you say, in the Tyler Perry vein. So I was like, why not? You know, let's go ahead and take a chance. Yeah. Hey, it worked for Tyler Perry.
Sure. Hey, you guys laugh, but he's been a launch pad for a lot of careers.
Yeah.
Not exactly. Really, but. Well, I guess the question I was going to ask you before is her character and Vivica Fox's character related?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the sisters.
Okay, because they look a lot alike in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, casting could have been great had they had shit for them to work with, but, and if you want to know some of her music, I mean, I don't think she's huge with her music, but her music's pretty cool. It's a combination of like a new wave neo soul thing going on with a little hip hop beat to it. That's a video jealousy. I just want to say this because, you know, I don't want to come in and criticize somebody.
Wait, you saying all that hair is a wig?
What's that?
All that hair she has in the movie is a wig?
I didn't say that.
Was it she looked like she didn't have hair there?
I don't know. Okay, I'll let you do that research.
You're not following what I'm saying.
I no. The hell y'all doing over there? thank you, man. Oh, well, it's better than what we see over here. It is spelled with a triangle, right? Yeah. It's spelled like with the fucking like the Legend of Zelda shit going on.
The Illuminati.
Yeah. The dude in here, you've seen this guy before. Robert, don't say Richard, Robert Richard.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's like art, but I like the way they just went ahead and just hired two black people with the most complicated names. Like, well, it's not Richard. It's RI:AR.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Because I went to high school with a kid named John Richard, and it was spelled like Richard, but he was white.
Okay, well, he wanted to be white then.
But he didn't put any special apostrophes in it.
No, but you know what? This guy. Everybody talks about this is a guy from My Cousin Skeeter. Everybody talks about how beautiful he is now, how handsome he is. And you look at him. He's leading man material.
Sure.
And and I know that the brother can emote in this movie. He's one of those dudes who just has nothing to do. I've watched Cousin Skeeter. I've seen him in that. I know that he can't emote in this.
Uh oh! No way out! I'm trapped! I can't get out of here! No food! No water! No remote control! What am I done?
I'm not sure, but from here it looks like you completely ignored the instruction manual.
I gotta get out! The walls are closing in on me!
Where was that Richard in the movie?
Man, that's some wonky reaction shots there.
Oh yeah. But you know what? But you know what? I would have welcomed those in this movie. I wish he had an orgasm face like that.
I bet he does.
No, in this movie, it's more like, wow. Seriously, these sex scenes are horrible. I'll get that in a little bit. Even
are they not hot?
No, man, no, not at all. It is so bad that even the extras in this movie are bad. They got this scene where these guys bring in flowers. And you could tell the director he doesn't know how to tell people to act naturally. The director, like these guys bring in flowers and they all look like robots coming in.
Yeah, they do.
You know, it's like none of this is, nothing feels natural in the movie because people are trying too hard. You know, and everything in this movie is lit flat. like an instructional video.
Yeah.
Or in some cases, like your better made YouTube videos. You know, this is, and you know, watch this. You can tell that whatever they had in the movie, they had limited resources, and I'll give them credit. You know, they tried to work with what they had, but in the movie, you could tell what they had. They had this house. I'm sure they filmed in multiple places in that. Uh-huh. They had a restaurant. They filmed multiple places in that. They had an office.
A hospital.
No. Oh, a hospital. Yes, a hospital and a conference room.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, you know, sometimes when people work well around these things, you can tell that they're in different places. You can tell this is all they had in this movie. And speaking of the filmmaking, he doesn't even know how to transition. Like everything in the movie, like every almost 5-10 minutes, everything is a fade out, fade in. He doesn't know how to create, you know, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's almost like, wow, I wonder what Martin is doing now. Martin Thomas. Wow, I wonder what Corey's doing. Oh, well, I guess I'll give him a call later. You know? they watch the movie. That happens every 10 minutes in the film. This is about as amateur filmmaking as you can get for something that has a big release like this with some stars in it. They have these pan shots that go on where they're trying to pan. Oh, look at these yachts that we got. Okay, they had a yacht too. But they pan across these yachts. And I don't know if it's a stylistic thing, but if it is, it looks shitty because it's very choppy. It looks like it's strobing. Like they had the camera set on the wrong setting when when they were like doing this pan shot. And
they just left it in
there. They just left it there. And even if that's a stylistic choice, somebody had to know that this does not look good.
Because there's software that'll stabilize that, right?
Well, they couldn't afford it. they didn't have it. They didn't download that plugin because that shit was just as choppy as it went across there. It looked like it was dropping frames.
Wow.
It is really one of the most fascinating spectacles of filmmaking I've ever seen on the big screen. It does not belong there, something on this amateur level. And that's before we actually get to, you know, this, then we're talking about the movie. Before we even get to the movie, the script was already horrible. Because for a movie that's supposed to be erotic, the sex scenes are the most boring part. Like, you're kind of having fun with some of the bad shit in the movie. You're having fun with the bad filmmaking in here.
Yeah.
When they get to the sex part, it never pushes boundaries. All the dirty talk might as well be nursery rhymes because they try to keep it so tame.
Uh-huh.
They do not want to push anything with this movie. The dirtiest they get in here is they go to a sex store and they see people playing with dildos and they have a dildo party.
Okay.
And by the way, nobody uses them in the opening thing. They just talk about them. The party is filler, by the way. And it's even funny when they're in the dildo store. It's like you can tell they don't know what to do with the extras. They got one woman in the background, like an extra, just calling attention to herself. She back there with the biggest dildo, just flopping that shit. you were like, what? I'm trying to pay attention to our main character, but if this bitch back here, she's about to fuck this thing.
I'm sorry, what is she doing?
It's big, it's fluorescent pink. Uh-huh. She just back there, just it's like a floppy ass lightsaber.
These are fun, guys.
And you know, the sex stuff that you do get in the movie, not much at all. You get some scenes of bondage, but those bondage scenes are pretty tame themselves.
Yeah.
You don't get anything much out of that. You get this cowboy right here, which that would ruin any mood for any woman about to have sex. You also get and I like the way this movie wants to be so dirty, but in all the wrong ways. It's like, y'all can't even show nudity in this movie. Y'all can't even get the sex right.
Yeah, wait, what's the rating?
It's R.
Okay.
You can't even get the sex right in here. But, look, we got a boat called Wet Dreams.
Oh, wow. That's a douchey boat.
Like, any woman would want to get on a boat
right
with a man who called that shit Wet Dreams.
I wouldn't want to get on that boat.
That boat would hashtag his ass.
I'd be like, dude, I got to rethink our friendship after this.
Yeah. You know, this is this is so bad that not only do I defend in this one particular case, right? Not only do I defend 50 Shades of Grey, but it made me respect 50 Shades of Grey more.
Wow.
50 Shades of Grey is a horrible film. It's a misogynistic film. Mm-hmm. But they gave the women what they asked for. They put a lot of nasty shit in that movie. They as much as they could, they pushed the boundaries as much as they could. They weren't afraid to do that. And they took the risk and they did, and they ran with it. Shit, this makes me respect 50 Shades of Black. you know I can't stand that. And this is and it's funny because I heard them describe the movie. They had the nerve to come out and say, "Well, actually, we're not 50 Shades of Grey. We're actually 9.5 weeks." I'm like, "No, slow your ass down."
How dare you?
You ain't even 50 Shades of Grey yet. You gonna try to reach this level? Sit your ass down. No. And the angering thing about the movie is that they can't. They want to have it both ways. They want to have this shit both ways. They want to be a edgy erotic film, a sexy erotic film. You know, the marketing wants to push all the sexes they can, and yet the movie starts out trying to be Tyler Perry. Seriously, start out with a sermon.
Oh, you gotta be kidding!
They start out with a sermon, you know, just in case some of the Tyler Perry crowd come to see this. we don't want to upset them. They actually do a sermon talking about God says that sex is good, sex is fine, but sex must be done in the most beautiful, respectful way. And I was like, fuck you, man. You can't have no movie about God and fucking at the same time. Jesus said, let them fuck. Come here trying to prep it both ways. Oh, we want that Tyler Perry shit. Tyler Perry even made a movie about fucking, I think, with that
Yeah.
Yeah, he did, and the woman caught AIDS.
Yeah, that's a penalty. You don't just get to have sex and enjoy it. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, man. Here's what it really boils down to, the shittiness of the movie, about to wrap this up, is that it spends so much time on this bad sex. It spends so much time trying to be erotic that it takes away from the film to where there's no story. Martin, there's, like, I got to the end of this, I'm like, wait a minute. They haven't told a fucking story in this movie at all, man.
Okay, so other than a story of these two professionals who discover that they're into kinky sex and do that ever so often, what is the driving point of this? Like, what are the characters trying to achieve?
It's just him trying to hook up with this chick and them just taking their time and having sex.
Oh, okay.
Meanwhile, while you don't have a main story, you got subplots that don't go any fucking place at all. Vivica Fox, she got a story about her and her husband, which comes in twice in 30 second burst. That shit don't go nowhere at all. That you don't find it lends nothing to the story, and also it's not followed back up with anything. They got this other story in here where this guy at the hospital, Dr. Gibson's been trying to hook up with her for the longest time. That shit goes nowhere.
You know, I've been interested. I'm just gonna ask you, do you want a date?
I'm sort of dating someone.
That's one of two scenes you get with them right there.
By the way, HR violation. You got to find a new place to work.
Oh, yeah. She even tells him that. She's like, what the fuck you doing? We work together. And furthermore, this brother don't do any job at his work. He just walks around hitting on her. I don't even think.
Doctor, I'm sorry. You can't talk to me like this. It'll get you fired. Girl, I don't even work here.
Yeah. I was about to say, I don't even think he's.
I rented this costume.
Yeah, I think he's a stalker, man. I think he just walked in the studio and stole some scrubs and just followed ass around. Girl, I've been hitting on you for the last 48 hours. Now, what's it going to be? What's up? About to call the police. I said, suck it the fuck away from me. What's your department anyway? The medicine and shit. You know, this is
Now, with all these subplots, do I smell a corporate takeover in the mix?
Man, Martin, that's that story, Martin. No, hell no. You just, Martin, you know what you did? You just wrote a script. Yeah, this is me inside laughing at you. What did this? Corporate takeover? That's funny. Nah, man, ain't no corporate takeover. In fact, I don't even know. They just got black. It's funny how they do this too, because they got black actors in there, just like old black act, like older black actors that you just can recognize, the ones that they actually can afford. What's the dude's name? The one that
got busted for all that ecstasy.
Got busted for all that ecstasy
and coke in his car
and aged his ass like 10 years it sure in one day. What's his name? Gary Dorden. Yeah. Gary Dorden, they got him in here because that's the black dude you recognize, and that's the one they could afford.
Right.
I think they even paid his ass in Molly.
that coke's not mine. Yeah. It's in your car. Somebody put it there, I'm telling you. Why y'all sweating me? Let me come down at least.
Yeah, because they had him come on. They had him come on and just, he's the guy that just introduced his little brother. That's it.
Yeah.
They got in there for black community recognition. We gotta sell this movie somehow. Hey, Gary Dorden's back.
Oh, it's that dude.
Yeah, that dude with the mugshot. Yeah, I recognize that. Yeah, man. I was going to give this. All this stuff has no importance to the story. And I was gonna give this some old bullshit, man.
Sure.
It
sounds kind of generous, but okay.
And I was being generous because I said, this is somebody who attempted to, they made a terrible film, a terrible, horrible film as far as production goes, but their heart was in trying to make this movie. You know, I know that they were, it wasn't this is by a low budget company, Patriot Game or Patriot Films or something. I've never heard of this. This is somebody who, they really were making this film because they wanted to make this film.
Sure.
I don't think this was like some quick cash grab for them, but it's funny how I talk about there's no story in this. And then, I shit you not, at the last two seconds, they try to pull out some story.
Oh, really?
Into the very last frame, and it is the worst thing that they had done in that movie. It is so bad, it makes no sense. I'm going to spoil it for y'all.
So you're about to get up and leave and like, all right, well, some old bullshit.
No, I was watching. I was like, I'm riding with this. I'm having a good time. Mm-hmm. I'm bored, but y'all bringing it back with some stupid shit every now and then. It keeps me interested. But it got to that last part, and I said, You got some nerve trying to pull this shit. You got to be fucking kidding me. You gonna do this? This is at the last minute when I'm about to walk out this bitch, this is your attempt at story? This is your big plot device? This whole, man, let me tell you something, Martin. Y'all listen. I'm gonna spoil it for you, because it doesn't matter. If y'all wanna hear it, I mean, if you don't wanna hear it, then get the fuck out of here. But don't pull that
forever.
Shit. No, go do some shit, you know, go write a better script than this. But let me tell y'all what happened here. So through this whole movie, it's been slow. They've been watching these two people get together with no conflict. Oh, there's one conflict. You know, you have the dinner with the parents. That's resolved in like 2 minutes.
Okay.
What do you want with my son? Do you want his money, don't you? I don't want his money. I got money of my own. Maybe we're too hard on her. Come back in.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the biggest conflict you have. Martin, they get together. It's fine. They have a happy ending. They attend the wedding, and it's like, oh, this is a foretelling of what can be for them. They're good. They've had no problems. They're a couple. At the last 2 minutes, she runs into her therapist's office, and the therapist is like, what the fuck you doing? I got a patient coming up. You gotta get out of here. She's like, no, I just need to talk to you. Just real quick, hear me out. And he's like, okay, come in. What is it? What's going on? She's like, you know, me and so-and-so hooked up, and I'm pregnant. And he's like, congratulations. She's like, no, you don't understand. I'm not gonna tell him. Fuck out of here with that! What? That's what that. And here, my dumb ass. I feel bad. Here's my dumb ass like, oh shit, the plot thickens. Oh, I'm about to get good now. What a good.
Now, do you think they did that because they had the guy's head gassed up that they were going to make a sequel?
Yeah, that has to be it, man. That has to be. He left that shit open. He's trying to start the kinky trilogy. Kinkier and kinkiest.
But he didn't know how to end it in a way that would actually engage the audience.
Meanwhile, this is the stupidest. Kinky.
This is, I kid y'all not, a fucking cliffhanger. They had the nerve to think he was gonna get some shit again. He gonna make Kinky too. I'm telling you, I looking like, what the fuck? Y'all like, what? All the LOLs.
Kinky 2, Planned Parenthood Unleashed. Somebody in the chat said that.
Yeah, fuck you. Fuck you. Were right, Maven. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you for that bullshit. Learn how to make a film and then concentrate on a sequel and a cliffhanger. Pulling that bullshit. Oh, you got some nerve thinking, yo, well, can't wait till Kinky 2.
Yeah, either he really thought there was going to be a sequel, or somebody said, you can't just end it at a wedding. You got to do something.
Yeah.
And the girl was available to reshoot.
I was about to say, maybe there was a Marvel sting at the end, but anyway, but it's hell, maybe she went to Wakanda or some shit. I don't know. But you can't do this shit, man. You can't do this shit. Can't everybody have a universe and shit, right? You know? And a franchise. I told him, somebody said, oh, Brad Jones gets to see this. I called Brad Jones today and I said, man, you got to go see this shit. Brad Jones and I, we've been starting to trade like bad movies together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, man, you got to do this shit. You have to see this. I do not recommend this for anybody else. I'm telling you, this movie is a bargain bin is too good for this. A bargain bin would spit that shit out. This is something that should be shown. Excuse me. Should be shown.
Now, let me ask you this. Would it be good for a drunk show? Because sometimes a movie can be so bad, it has all these things that would be good, yet if it moves at a slow pace and it's boring, or there's big gaps in between the stupid stuff.
That's what I was going to say. This is something that should be shown as a joke. I was just about to say that. It's an hour and 33. That's a good question, Tiffany. It's an hour and 33 minutes.
That 3 minutes, though.
But Martin, when you say this is the one we should watch this for an hour, and let all the good stuff get out the way, and then be done with it, and let everybody finish the rest.
Yeah, but with that ending you just gave us,
and you watch that last bit on your own. I ain't going there. Nah, you ain't got.
Hey, maybe they'll show it on Adult Swim one night, like they did with The Room.
Boy, this really is like some Black Tommy Wazoo shit, man. Tommy Wazoo. Blackie Wazoo. Hey, enter at your own risk with this. Hey, I feel like an asshole because I want to support Black, but fuck. I can't do it here, man. This is bad.
Some people said that about The Room, and others said, oh, no, it's so bad, it's brilliant. This could be the next one.
Yeah, well, you can go find out, Martin. Time will see. But I've done my time.
I foresee you watching this again.
Boy, your crystal ball is fucked up. Man. I'm done. You know what? Maybe we'll do it for a drunk show one day.
See?
So, yeah. So, right there, maybe. Maybe. But we'll see. And it's going to be a while because, you know, this is going to be in the theaters for the next 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
It's going to be a while, Martin.
I'm going to wait for the Criterion edition.
It's got to cross 100 million first. 100 million pennies. All right.
Got to see it with the commentary track. So that the director can explain all his influences.
It's almost like it's almost like this dude stalked Tyler Perry's house and went over to his trash and stole all his all the scripts that Tyler Perry threw away.
But he can only find 5 pages. And he's like, all right, I'll do the best I can with this.
Yeah. I'm sorry, man. I've tried to be nice in some parts of this. This is a fuck you, dude. If you see that this movie made $8 this weekend, it's because of me. Oh, let's go ahead and get into something else right here.
Imagine afterwards they're like, so are we in the top 5? No. Top 10, though. Not quite. Top 20. Keep going. Top 50. Maybe.
How does Corey's top 5 shittiest movies of the year? It's somewhere.
That is a top 5.
It's a top 5.
You didn't say which top 5.
Can't be too picky, man. All right. Let's see what we got right here.
Man, what else after that?
I'm going to be a star. Black dude number 3 in the hospital. Say his ass would just stole a costume and walking around. I'm going to get you, girl.
Seems like someone really likes you, Dr. Carmichael.
You know I've been interested. I'm just going to ask you, do you want a date?
I'm sort of dating someone.
So, fill us in on your sex life.
Guys, I have to take this.
Don't talk to your little friend.
I was hoping you can come over.
I'd love to.
Anything I can help you find?
I'm looking for something in the bondage space.
You want to play?
Somebody's been a naughty girl.